Good morning, church. I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians 1. Before we begin our message on the benefits of salvation, I'd like us to memorize the theme, the church theme for this year, taken from Psalm 51, verse 12. All right? So we will read it together, and after that, don't look up, look down. Because there are two banners up there, I know. So you look down and try to memorize it. So let's read it together first without the A. A means the first part of the verse. We just say Psalm 51, 12 should be enough. All right? Ready? Begin. Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. All right, now you look down. Don't look up at the banner. Ready? Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. There are three key words in our church team this year. Restore, right? Unto us the joy of our salvation. Salvation is the third. Restore, joy, salvation. And if you have not noticed, you would notice by today that I'm on the theme of salvation. All right, we have looked at in last Sunday's message the need for salvation. And today we want to look at the benefits of salvation. But the benefits of salvation, there are so many benefits which we will not be able to deal with all of them in one Sunday. Therefore, I will be subsequently focusing on each of the benefits of salvation. But for today, we want to look at an overview, all right, of the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us in Christ, according to verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Now, how would you like to receive a free trip? Maybe to the Gold Coast in Australia. What if upon receiving the free gift, you learn that it was a package deal? You would also receive beachfront hotel accommodations for 7 days, free meals at the finest restaurants, unlimited golf and spa privileges, unlimited use of a luxury automobile, and $10,000 cash for shopping. Well, this may sound too good to be true, but I see people winning such trips in a TV show. One of the TV shows when I was young, which I used to watch, is called, you look at this picture and tell me, what TV show is hosted by these two? Oh, a lot of people know, all right? So you know, the host of this TV show, they hosted when they were young, and now they are looking older. They have been like sign on for this TV show, isn't it? Pat Sajak, if I got his name right, and Vanna White. And this is a screen that you commonly see in the show. And people do win free trips, cash, on this TV show. I like the word games because it's challenging. And I play along, of course. Even if I got it right, no prize. Unless you're on the show. All right, but I like the challenge of guessing. Those phrases, words, sentence, etc. However, beloved friends, here in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14, is something that is far better than a Gold Coast vacation package. And it is our salvation package. And it is real. It is real. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive this salvation package of benefits right now. In the original Greek, these 12 verses that we read earlier constitute a single complex sentence. And I think Paul would be pretty hard to translate for an interpreter. Because he goes on and on and on, and you know, verse 3 to 14, one single complex sentence. As Paul dictates the blessings we have in Christ, his speech pours out of his mouth in continuous cascade. He neither pauses for breath nor punctuates his word with full stops. He is thinking of the extraordinary grace and blessing that belongs to all who are in Christ. And as he does so, you see his enthusiasm pours out in one long sentence of praise to God. And it is worth reading this whole section again and again. And as you do so, I hope you will get the sense of the joy and the enthusiasm that Paul experiences as he speaks of such wonderful truths. Now I want to give you an illustration of this excitement and enthusiasm. I think it was on Wednesday, Brother Steve and I went to Tabernacle Bookstore to buy some Bibles, and we listened on the way back in the car, a radio DJ reporting sports news of a Premier League soccer, and I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was between Man U and Newcastle United. And the way that the reporter described the match was so spirited and exciting that Brother Steve was so impressed that his report makes the listeners seem like watching the actual match. Those were his words, watching, as if we are watching the actual match. You know, I can't imitate that news, right? But it was something like, you know, Wayne Rooney, there he goes, dribbling his ball, past two defenders, and whack. Nah, I'm just trying. All right, something to the excitement, you know, very exciting the way he puts it, as if you're watching the real movement of the player, you know, weaving around the defenders and then finally scoring the goal. But unfortunately, this match, although Man U led 3-2, at the end it was 3-3. How many of you watched this match? No. No soccer fan here. Okay. So the point is this. What is the point of this illustration? The point is, if people get so excited over a soccer match, a golf tournament, or even a tennis, how much more we Christians who have received such glorious salvation should be enthusiastic and excited about the salvation we have in Christ. Beloved, do you have that excitement? Do you tell the gospel with zeal and enthusiasm? Perhaps we could imagine a fireworks in the heavenlies. As Paul lists these spiritual blessings in Christ, the benefits of salvation. And I think on New Year's Day, we saw fireworks all over the world in different major cities of the world. And we can imagine that these fireworks are happening as Paul described the blessing. Chosen, adopted, redeemed, accepted, forgiven, endowed, sealed. And we could have described this blessing perhaps in this way. Did you see that? He chose us before the foundation of the world. It's just like sometimes you watch fireworks and say, wow, that's so beautiful pattern. Wow, look at that one. The color is so, you know, nice. So did you see that? He chose us before the foundation of the world. Oh, look, we are adopted as children according to the good pleasure of his will. That's my favorite. We are redeemed by his blood. And there's another. We are accepted in the beloved. See that one? We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you see the cascade of blessing after blessing that Paul describes as he goes on and on to share the benefits we have in the Lord Jesus. I want to look at an overview of this with you this morning, and then we'll zero in on some of this in subsequent sermons. A penetrating question for us is, did those statements draw from us the same kind of excitement and brilliance that Paul and others experience? We must see these truths for ourselves if we are to lead a joyful and vibrant life. And I think the failure of many Christians to see the benefits of salvation the way the Apostle Paul appreciated it explains why our Christianity is not joyful. Now, this glorious doxology consists of three stanzas. It's, as some scholars say, a hymn. It's like a hymn, each concluded by the repetition of a phrase in verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14. Take a look with me at these verses. It ends with the stanza. Every stanza ends with, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. And again in verse 14, unto the praise of his glory. And each of the stanza emphasizes a different person of the Trinity. So we see in this passage the Father who chose us in verses 3 to 6. First, God the Father is the source of every blessing which we enjoy. His initiative is set forth plainly, for he himself is the subject of almost every main verb in these verses. If you go through verse 3 and 6, you'll notice this. It is God the Father who has blessed us, who has chosen us, who has predestinated us to be his sons, who freely bestowed on us his grace. Indeed, he lavished his grace upon us, and he made known to us his will and purpose, which he set forth in Christ to unite all things. Further, he accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. And turning from the verbs to nouns, Paul refers in quick succession to God's love and grace, to his will, his purpose, his plan. And the whole paragraph is full of God the Father, who has set his love and poured his grace upon us, and who is working out his eternal plan. So this first stanza emphasizes God the Father who chose us before the foundation of the world. No room is left for human pride. No room is left for human pride, for God's choice was in no sense dependent on man. It was accomplished through Jesus Christ, and it is explained only by the good pleasure of his will. In the second stanza, from verses 7 to 12, we have the Christ who redeemed us. The Christ who redeemed us. The second stanza of this incomparable doxology puts emphasis on the function of Christ, the Son of God. And Paul mentions two great provisions which Christ supplies. Firstly, redemption. And secondly, a heritage. A heritage. In the first 14 verses, the Son of God is mentioned either by name or title. Paul addresses him as Christ, or sometimes as Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Beloved, or pronoun by pronoun or possessive, he, him, his, no fewer than 15 times in the first chapter, first 14 verses of chapter 1. The phrase in Christ and in him occurs 11 times. And already in the first verse, the apostle has described Christians as saints and believers who are in Christ Jesus. And now in the rest of the paragraph, he draws out the implications of this pregnant expression in Christ. What does it mean for a person to be in Christ? What's the implication? Well, the implication, simply put, is this. Formerly, we were in Adam, belonging to the old fallen humanity. Now, we are in Christ, belonging to the new redeemed humanity. In Adam, all have the sentence of death. Spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. The wages of sin is death. And by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. So in Adam, we all die. We are spiritually dead in our trespasses and in our sin. And we walk according to the course of this world. We are under the bondage and power of the devil. But in Christ, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are a redeemed humanity in Christ. And we enjoy all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places because of Christ. So you see the great change or exchange in Adam versus in Christ. Which place spiritually are you in? If you're still in Adam, in your sin, then you await God's judgment upon your soul. Unless you repent of your sin and of your idols and of your excuses and turn by faith to embrace the salvation of the Lord Jesus, you will one day perish eternally in the lake of fire. Because God is a holy God and he must punish sin. But God is also a God of love, and therefore he stretches out his hand of grace and mercy to rescue sinners like you and me through the death of his Son on the cross and his resurrection. So I hope that if you are not in Christ yet, that you will come to trust in him today, so that you may enjoy all these spiritual blessings that is listed by the Apostle Paul here. It is in Christ that God has blessed us in time and chosen us in eternity. It is in the Beloved that he has bestowed on us his grace, so that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sin. It is in him, in Christ again, that the first Jewish believers became God's people, and in him also that Gentile believers were sealed as belonging to God. It is also in Christ that God has set forth his plan to unite all things in him under his headship, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God is going to unite everything together in Christ, under his headship. And once we Gentiles were separated from Christ and therefore hopeless and godless, but now in Christ, we have been overwhelmed with blessing. And finally, in the third stanza, there is the Holy Spirit. He is our seal and our earnest. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, implying that we belong to God because of the seal of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our earnest in the sense that he is the down payment. By giving us the indwelling Holy Spirit, by giving those who trust in Christ the indwelling Holy Spirit, God is saying that this is my down payment for all the heritage that you are going to enjoy in Christ Jesus one day. I will fulfill that transaction. Now, we'll talk about some of this in more detail later on. Like I say, today we look at an overview. So although in this paragraph, we find that the Holy Spirit is mentioned by name only in verses 13 and 14, his activity is assumed throughout, and his varied work is described in later chapters as well. What Paul stresses here in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 is the blessing God gives us in Christ, that the blessing God gives us in Christ is spiritual. And it is probably a contrast with the Old Testament days when God's promised blessings are largely material. He will give them a land. It will be overflowing with milk and honey and so on. Right? But here the blessings in Christ are primarily spiritual, not saying that God doesn't bless us physically and materially as well. Right? But here in this passage, it's really all about our spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So the distinctive blessing of the new covenant are spiritual, and God's law written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is one of that, and a personal knowledge and the forgiveness of our sins as well. So we have been blessed and are now blessed. We have been and are now blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. To be in Christ, therefore, is to partake of all that Christ has done, all he is, and all that he ever will be. Of course, it remains for us to grow and thus claim more and more of these blessings which are already ours in Christ. And Paul calls us to immerse ourselves in these truths and celebrate our salvation in Christ. How marvelous, how wonderful. And I think some of the songs, the hymns that are written, expresses this, the wonder of the love of God in Christ Jesus. So the challenge for you and me, as we go through the Word of God in a passage like this, is to regularly fill our mind with the wonder of the love of God in Christ. And beg God to show you the excellency of these spiritual realities. And ask him also to show you the beauty of his plan and the wonder of his love for you. Do it regularly. We need to be consumed by Christ. And in reflection, as we close, may I ask, has God made you alive in Christ Jesus? Or are you still dead to God, governed by the world's atmosphere, living only to please your own desires? I hope we will all each reflect on this. Where are you spiritually? In relation to Christ, if you are redeemed, do you love to proclaim it? Or are you hesitant to admit it? You know, evangelism is not something that we have to work up or even have to force people to do. It is something spontaneous that comes out of the life of a redeemed person. When his heart is revived, his mind is renewed, and he has the joy of God's salvation, it will come out naturally. He will feel enthusiastic, zealous to share that wonderful news with those who are outside the kingdom. So if you are redeemed, do you love to proclaim it? And knowing how richly God has blessed you with benefits that accompany salvation, you should respond with gratitude and dedication and live to the praise of His glory. I'd like to read through the passage with you one more time before we close. And with this message at the back of your mind, may the Lord speak to our hearts and fill us with gratitude because of His wondrous blessing. Right, shall we read together verses 3 to 14 of Ephesians chapter 1? Let us begin. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. May we meditate on these truths often, regularly, and may God restore unto us the joy of His salvation. Let's pray. Almighty God, our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts this morning with thankfulness and gratitude that You have chosen us to receive such glorious salvation and its benefits. We thank You for sending Your Son to redeem us, and that in Him we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We thank You for the seal of the Holy Spirit, His indwelling in our lives. For those of us who have trusted in Christ through the gospel of Your salvation. And we thank You that He is the guarantee, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of His purchased possession. Lord, help us to rejoice in this marvelous blessing, the wonder of Your love for us in Christ. And Lord, we pray that perhaps there are some in our midst here who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are still in Adam, in the fallen humanity. We ask that Your Spirit will convict them of their need for salvation, because without Christ, there is no hope, there is no peace with you. There is no salvation from sin and its penalty. And help them to be drawn to the Savior today by embracing Him and trusting in Him as their Savior. And for us who have been redeemed, oh God, may we be filled with such joy in our hearts that our lips will love to proclaim the Lord Jesus and His salvation to those who are outside your kingdom, in our own homes, amongst our relatives, and also our friends. Speak to our hearts and bless your people today, for we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.